Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to Strike a Chord. Today we have amazing guitarist Rose Gonzalez. Rose, welcome.
Thank you.
How can I say? As a fellow guitarist, I'm rapt to have you on.
As a
non-string, especially classical guitarist, classical and flamenco, they are here somewhere. Mm-hmm. They are very connected.
Totally, yes.
Why the guitar?
What?
And why not anything else? Or maybe there is something else. Maybe, I don't know, did you start with the guitar or?
Pretty much started with the guitar when I was about 13. Okay. And, you know, we just, Actually, now I'm casting my mind back and I remember I did play a bit of piano before that, you know, some piano lessons, and I did do a year of violin at school, but those instruments didn't really stick, and probably it's just the influence of, you know, my dad, he played guitar when we were kids, mm-hmm. and I think that essentially maybe was there, and when I picked up the guitar, I really, you know, wanted to stick to the guitar.
So there was a connection straight away.
Yeah,
there's absolutely. Always a connection.
Yeah.
You know, with a certain instrument, you know, there's a lot of
interesting as kids. Interesting. I mean, there is always a connection. Sometimes the connect it takes time for the connection. I didn't actually want to play the flute, but it was handed to me. It was the only option. Mm. So it's interesting that. So you were inspired by your dad playing the guitar. Was that kind of how?
I think so. And then you know, and then as you go down the path of it, you realize, oh, there's so much cool music. I don't know. The music starts speaking to you. Maybe there's a piece of music that wakes you up to the music and then you want to play that and then that's it. You know, you're down the track, you know, you're off.
It's sort of from a young age and you're not even conscious of the music you're listening to. It's like a lifestyle, you know, from a young age, especially being, you know, your father playing and everything like that. It's like a lifestyle that's instilled, like there has to be music. Otherwise, there's nothing, you know. So it has to be... There's something instilled, and it's part of your day-to-day life. This is where I think a lot of people who don't know how to play an instrument or aren't part of the arts or anything like that, I think sometimes they don't comprehend how much we're embedded, you know, in our music, in our lifestyle, in our instrument, in our form, in our artwork.
Mm-hmm.
When it happens, it's hard to get away from it. It's I think family as well influence.
Absolutely, just the environment that you grew up in, it seeps through and it's part of your being.
I know about that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're the exception.
Yeah, I guess there was no music in my family, but then who knows if they would have gotten into music given they didn't have the opportunity. So
right.
I have school to thank for the recorder.
Yeah.
That's right. You started on the recorder.
Yeah, recorder. I mean, not proud of that moment, but...
That's hard, isn't it?
The recorder?
Did you do it in primary school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it hard at that age? Because I was
just playing songs I heard on, like, I remember the movie, I don't know if you know it, Homeward Bound. I'll play all the theme songs from the movies.
Okay.
I was just playing the recorder. I just remember that. And we played, like, Hot Cross Buns or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you play it. You actually played it.
You got it.
Whereas other kids will probably just stuff around.
I don't remember. I just remember, like you said, I just liked that there were sounds coming out of the thing, you know. I can't explain. And like just being around music generally, like obviously, yourself too, you know, your dad.
I mean, that's like it was part of me growing up. There was always music and musicians, and that was just how it was. But coming back to classical music now, that's big, it's massive, and you got a connection as well. Both of you are classically trained in different instruments. And possibly different styles within classical. How is that? How was it for you when you started classical? Was it something that you engaged and you sort of like went in quite easily, or was it something that you sort of like fought with, or did it come easy? So was it, all right, this is what I need. This is what I'm doing, and I'm finding it quite easy. Or I'm only doing this because I wanna get, you know, to a certain stage with my education or whatever. How was it for you, Rose?
I think when I think about, you know, my years of study before I went to the conservatorium, you know, 18, when I started uni. So in, you know, 5 or so years before that, when I was just playing guitar, it was very free range learning. It was like my teacher, he was very like, oh, you want to play that? Okay, here you go. Anything that I wanted to play, he would give me. And he was, but he was also very knowledgeable and very worldly lover of music and player. So he would kind of also play things to me and inspire me. And I'd be like, yeah, what's that? You know, I want to play that. And he would just kind of laugh and be like, okay, here you go. You know, he just, he let me do whatever I, you know, felt like I wanted to do, which was really cool. So at some point I kind of realized like, oh, there's different styles of guitar. You know, there's different, you know, jazz guitar was speaking to me too. I really like jazz guitar, but something about finger style, I was like, I want to develop this here more. I don't know what it is, you know, really. I don't think I even really knew what the, you know, I didn't have a big vocabulary in terms of the music and the styles and all this stuff, but I just knew that there was something with finger style that I could go down this path. And so when I got to uni, that's when I started to get a formal classical guitar education. Okay. So it was really like diving into the deep end, and I had to do a lot of, as you can imagine, a lot of, you know, catching up, hard work, you know, to learn a lot of things
and familiarize
in a short amount of time.
Yeah, familiarize yourself as well with with that type of music as well, because you're saying you've come from, you know, you're just
free range.
And so now you're sort of like going into, all right, now this is what you need to, this is how it has to happen, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the thing that's always been clear is that, you know, yeah, in that time too, I realized like, oh, if I go down the path of Latin guitar, you know, I was already really liking Latin guitarists and Latin music, you know, I was starting to really appreciate this. And that's, you know, the great thing about, you know, what we call Latin guitar is that it blends together everything.
So much.
I think literally everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything's in there, including the elements, including, so I don't know, who knows what is in there. So that is, has always been inspiring. And the interesting, you know, is that, yeah, it does have classical guitar technique, you know, but then it also has this very popular, diverse, you know, sound.
It also has a free range sound as well in some ways.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Do you find that when you're playing unintentionally, you go down that Latin path or that little, those little nuances and everything, and you think to yourself, oh, this isn't quite, sound quite classical, it sounds more something else. You know, do you find yourself doing that a lot, and do you like doing it? Because I know some musicians are quite strict on what they're going to play. I'm going to play this now. This is what it is. You know? How do you feel about that?
You mean like if I'm playing something classical?
Yeah.
Like, you know, more.
Or something Latin, and then you play something, it goes into a more of a classical feel, or classical goes into more of a Latin feel, or more of this feel, more of that feel.
Maybe there is that happening. You know, I don't know if I've really thought about that too much. I think, you know, at this point I just, you know, I still play the things which I like to play, and there's so much great music that I'm like, I'd love to play that piece of music. So I just get into it, you know, over time. I just work on repertoire over time. But do I play classical guitar? Not really, but I have, you know, and I love classical music. Thanks to those years in the conservatorium, I learned about it. Yeah. You acquire the understanding of what this is. Mm. I love it, you know. But I don't really, you know, I don't play Benjamin Britten per se, but I love Benjamin, you know, and I have in the past. And so many other, you know, types.
And look, that's a good, it's a good view to have, because there's so much beautiful music out there. You know, whether it's classical, whether it's other genres, it's Latin, like you were saying, or jazz or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you're actually welcoming that with your residency at Open Studio, right? With having so many guitars coming and accompanying you, right?
Yeah. Well, not even accompanying me, but just, you know, that residency is like they do their thing. You know, it's like,
that's what I mean by accompanying you. I think not literally, but being there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So that's that residency is called Guitar Kingdom, and it's basically a concert in a bar. That's always been the idea. I always thought, at some point after I finished uni, I was like, where am I going to play?
Yeah, that's always the running thought.
Where can I play? You know, I want to play, you know, what I want to play.
And where am I going
to
do it?
What venue will best cater to this sound? Yeah.
Exactly.
Apart from my bedroom.
Yes. I need to get out of this. Yeah, yeah. You want, you know, you feel that need. I have to grow and playing definitely. Live is always going to challenge you. So, yeah, thankfully Open Studio said, yeah, okay, you want to play regularly, that's fine. So I started playing there regularly, and the idea was to have a different guitarist each time. So actually it started off monthly for a couple of years. It was every month, every 4 weeks. And then now it's four times a year, so every 3 months. And I have a different guitarist each time.
Fantastic.
And yeah, the idea, you know, whenever I always decide ahead of time, you know, at the start of the year, who's going to play. I invite people to play those guitarists, and I always try and map that out. So I've got a different kind of guitarist every time.
Yeah.
And it just really gives me a lot of joy and happiness to have this gig happening, because. Yeah. You know, it's a concert in a bar, and I think we need stuff like that.
There's
high caliber guitarists that come and play, you know, but in a very kind of casual setting, and I think that suits the guitar perfectly, because the guitar is, you know, essentially a popular instrument. You know, it's an instrument that has always been accessible and kind of more for the lower socioeconomic, let's say, or, you know, that popular end of the world has always had the guitar. So to have it in a bar works, but then people come in and they listen, and they are so respectful, you know, to the musician that's playing, because it's a solo guitar thing, you know. Yeah. So
the instrument is just the instrument. It's the person behind the instrument that's going to bring it the beauty, right?
And hopefully, yeah.
And
unless they're evil now.
Depends on what kind of intention you
exactly.
Want
yeah.
The evil intention.
It all depends. It all depends. But it's a great thing that you're doing, because other musicians, especially like guitarists, and the guitarists are playing like solo. So that's another factor in the whole thing. Like, you know, a lot of guitarists, they're used to playing in a band or having someone, you know, to work off. Well, playing solo, and you would know this, playing solo has its own challenges and own, how can I say, it's got its own beauty, but it's got its own thing to it. It's something that your own thing. There's no one to just like bounce off. If you make a mistake, it's you. It's like you're playing. And that in itself, when you listen to someone playing a solo instrument, whether it's a guitar or piano, right, and you can see in that they're immersed in it, that is something that I think is the beauty of it as well. Not just the sound that's coming out of the guitar, but the energy that's coming from the person as well. And that's great I saw that with you, because I had a look at the Fantasia number three that you were playing.
Fantasia number three,
yeah.
Is there a video of that?
Yeah.
Oh, there is, yes.
And everything's played perfectly, beautifully.
Thank you.
And there's a lot of tension, and there's a lot of dynamics, and you're fully immersed in it. You've forgotten about where you are, you know. And I think that's a beauty there as well. That people want to see that. They want to see where you're going from that journey.
Mm.
But you're playing that. It's fantastic. It's absolutely amazing and beautiful, because you've got everything in there. You've got your team. Obviously, but you've also got those nuances, and I think that touch that you have, and I'm going to say this, females have a different thing, men have a different thing to
totally
every
agree
instrument.
With that. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you can hear the sound is different, the tone, the texture, like it's just a completely different
it's
energy.
It's a female's touch on it, and it's different, and it's absolutely awesome. It's great to hear that, because sometimes when we listen or we look at people playing, we just want to hear the shredding or hear this, but there's a bit more to that.
Mm.
And you're telling a story.
Mm.
And that's the whole thing. That's the whole beauty of it.
We said soft shredding, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Gentle shredding.
And that's very hard to actually perfect. And that comes to you. When I say it just comes naturally to you, and that's great. That's great to have it, because a lot of people work on that for their whole lives to get that tone, to get that thing, especially in the classical realm. It's like it's all about tone.
It's all about tone,
this and that. And whereas in my realm, it's all about rhythm and
shred.
And yeah, and getting that dynamic thing in there and just getting those syncopations and getting this and getting that. And it's just a different world. And to hear that and to just like, oh, okay, hang on, there's something else happening here. And that is great to hear. Not only from a musician's perspective, and I bet whoever's going to listen to it will have that same thing. It just gives them, takes them to another place. And it's great. It's a great thing to have, you know?
Hopefully, yeah. I think when you know, that piece of music that you mentioned, for example, is so, it's a really challenging, deep piece of music that, you know, there is so much in there and so many more possibilities. Like, you know, you can open up and up some more. I play it as written, as the composer wrote it. But, you know, in that process of understanding the piece, you have to immerse yourself and internalize it again and again and again until it just becomes
your part interpretation of your
fiber. And then you're also seeking your interpretation. How do I express it? And how is it coming across? What do I need to finesse here?
Do you think about that when you're rehearsing the piece, or do you think about that when you're rehearsing and playing live?
Well, when you're practicing it, it has to be when you're practicing it, you know, and that's where, thankfully, you're like, I can record myself on my iPad or whatever and then listen to myself back. And even though I hate my iPad, it's handy.
I think a lot of people hate recording themselves.
Oh, look, it's essential. Like it's not going to be the exact the exact version that you're playing live. Yeah. A bit distorted and whatnot.
But it's an honest, hold yourself accountable and then hear where are things falling apart or where does it, you know, possibly sound good. And then you can, keep improving something.
And it gives you the sense that you're on stage as well, sort of thing. You're performing, right? Especially if you're doing like a Instagram Live or a Facebook Live. It's you're on, you know, people are watching and you're there. And it's
all three people.
All three people. But nevertheless, it's still a performance, right? Yes. So I think that's just the training as well of your mindset. Like if you're... it's funny, I think every musician would love to play like they play at a rehearsal, to play live.
Yeah.
You know, and have that relaxedness and have that, you know. Just
that's one of the big goals, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think some musicians do that. And I think those musicians play all the time. Like we say gig fit. When we say, oh, yeah, he's gig fit. So he plays, or he or she plays every week and they're just churning it out.
The same repertoire as well, that would probably play a role if you're playing the same pieces. 5, 6, 7 times. Yeah. That's gonna
absolutely.
And that's all good and well, but then when you do things like you and I do, where it's improv, that slightly goes out the window. So and that's the beauty of it as well. There's a beauty there as well. I mean,
it's exciting though. Exciting, you gotta have that excitement.
You gotta have that excitement.
So what goes out the window exactly?
The form, I think, sometimes.
The form,
a little bit.
Sometimes I forget the progression, or I'll stay on a progression. I'll indulge in it perhaps for too long, and it's already moved on.
Right.
But that's all about improv, and I like that question. What goes out the window?
Yeah.
Your dignity sometimes. But it's all about that being on edge, I think, with improv when you're playing and when you're playing all that. But whatever it is, it's your interpretation and your intent. If you got the good intent to come out there, I think the people will see it. And if you do a little bit of a mistake, you just, you know.
Don't normally notice unless you just go,
unless it's really bad, you know. I mean,
what's really bad?
exactly. But I think playing classical music can be such a serious thing, you know. And I think...
Very formal.
Yeah. And playing it in a bar, I think, brings it down. And I think people accept it.
Makes it more accessible, which I love.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah.
In the hood.
In the hood.
Sorry, why did I say neighborhood? What's wrong with me? In the hood.
In the hood. But look, it's something that has to happen more often here.
Oh, yeah.
You know
what I think? I it's kind of a worrying thing I think we're facing at the moment, Melbourne musicians, is that do we have enough venues, small venues for intimate gigs where you're playing instrumental music, niche music, whatever it is that you play, that doesn't have a big audience per se. You know, I feel like in a way there isn't. I don't know if you guys agree, but I feel like we're kind of, there's not a lot of places where you can play.
Yeah, am I wrong? I agree. I totally agree about that. But in regards to actual venues who take on live musician, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But as in venues that can be used as that, there are heaps.
There are, yes.
And there are heaps of venues that don't take on those live musicians because some of the venues is not what they do. The other venues is that they think that it's going to be too expensive.
Yeah, or maybe they don't even really care about the musicians. Exactly. You know,
it's more about the food.
Yeah, so
more about the sports that's on the TV that's playing.
That's right, you know? And you don't want to be compete. You want the a venue that has a focus on the music, a respect for the musicians. Yeah. This is a place for music. Everything else is an add-on.
Mm.
Small venues. I feel like we need more of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah.
I definitely agree too. I was chatting to a small venue owner last night actually about this, and he agrees. He's currently applying for grants to try and that's the other side of the coin. Like he's saying that
to sustain it.
He's he wants to keep sustaining to have musicians there as well.
Yeah.
And and then the funding, that's where the funding needs to come in.
Yeah.
As well. Because they're not making enough at the bars.
No, exactly. Yeah. And look, I think those venue owners who were once musicians themselves or were in the arts, or they're the ones that are gonna be pushing for that to have live music, or something. They're going to be alive. They're not going to be dead when they're playing. But, they're the ones that are pushing it. These other venues that have your other sorts of, you know, they're concentrating on more food. They're like a coffee style cafe, or they're you know, it's not that, or they'll have a DJ every Friday night or something like that, right? They're the ones that don't have that concept of how it is to be a musician because they haven't been a musician themselves, and that's, I'm going to assume, I'm not staying out there.
They're coming more from the angle of
that food is, gastronomy, that food is, the business, or the business, you know?
That corporate end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And look, it's not helping that we have to also fulfill the social media side of things, right? So, and fulfill the things where if you haven't got anything on social media, or if you're not releasing this, or you haven't got a lot of, if your CV is not up online, or you haven't got a lot of music, you know, that is also a factor for people who don't know about hiring live musicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like live, if it's a musician, he'll probably say, come down and like Andrew, come down and do a gig and we'll see how it goes. If it's someone else, I'll say, what's your social media like? How many followers do you have? What have you released? What's your music like? Is this? And that's all good and well, and that's your resume and whatever, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes it does get to you. It's
absolutely,
you know, your mind gets flooded with things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you forget about playing.
Mm-hmm.
You end up being your own PR.
Yeah, you end up producing, have to wear so many hats, and you can't do all of those at the same time.
Exactly. And then you forget about that. You have to rehearse to actually play.
Yeah, you actually do. Mm-hmm. You actually go, oh, wow, do I have time to even, how much time do I have for this?
I
spend all my time telling everyone about it.
Yeah, that's right.
You're in a predicament at the moment, right? Yeah. Where your time is very valuable.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Teaching and this and that.
You're trying to juggle it all, and
I feel that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. For me, it's important. I love practicing. Like, I love it so much. And now I'm lucky if I'm literally, I'm trying to find tactics to just, even if it's 5 minutes, just having my instrument open there so I can just grab it and go and then just leave. But I don't want to be in that space. I want to just be able to go, I have 3 hours now.
Yes, so of course.
I'm sure you both understand that.
I totally understand. And then I feel like unless you're in doing that, maybe you don't understand. and the pressures that accumulate in a person's mind as a result, and acknowledging that, you know, we need the music to sustain ourselves, like our well-being, our ability to express ourselves, to connect with people, all kinds of things.
So true. And it's something that we fight for every day. We fight ourselves.
Yes.
You know, what am I going to play? If I've got a gig coming up, what am I going to play at the gig? Is it really going to be, you know, worth me playing? Is it going to be worth me doing that? And that's your self-doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when that happens, you know you're not going to have a good gig. But I think what I'm doing as well, because I've been like that in the past, what I'm doing at the moment is that just letting go of everything, just go and do it. Whatever the outcome it is, it's not so much about me playing anymore. It's about me playing to people who are going to be listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like at Apple Studio, it's very intimate, right? So people are listening.
Yeah.
You know, they're feeding off you. So
yes.
Your concentration is more about how are they, you know, how are they absorbing my music, you know, and if they like it or not. You know?
There's very much the exchange there between the audience and the musicians at that place. Yeah.
Especially when it's close.
Yeah.
You know, when you're right there.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's very intimate. Yeah. I've played gigs where I've done gigs at home in like probably you have too, in the lounge room, living room. They're all around you and they're just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can feel, all right, well, this is a good test because I'm going to play. Everyone's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you and the guitar and you think, it's so good. It's so good to have that, to have people just sitting around and just listening, you know. Sometimes the bar gigs can get a bit rowdy and, you know, in the corner somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But even that's okay too.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of gigs like that where I'm in the corner. I just do my experimental stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you experiment. Yeah, you put yourself in a thing and you just think, oh, I can try this. Oh, I was going to hear me. And then you have that one person saying, oh, I was listening to you the whole time. I think you were great. And you think, oh. But that's just, you know, that's the beauty, I think, of Melbourne as well.
Yeah.
You've got that option of having those gigs. Even though we say it's probably not enough gigs, but when you do get the gigs, it's so diverse. You're going to, you know, you're playing a library. You'll play in a bar. You'll probably play at someone's home, in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know?
Great place.
Yeah, great place, you know?
Yeah. Maybe that could be my next series.
Yeah.
Concert in your kitchen.
You can actually mix it with some gastronomy.
Yeah. You'll make me food.
Yeah, yeah.
You make food for everyone.
I'll sing finger-style foods with
finger-styling. Yeah, finger foods with finger-styling on the guitar, you know? That's a good idea, actually. That's probably something that you can take on the road. Go to people's houses. And
essentially, it's a house concert.
Yeah, but it's not just a house concert. Someone's baking. Someone's making. You're playing while someone's making.
Preferably not at the same time, though, because I feel like there'd be a lot of noise.
Well, just tell them to be quiet with the utensils playing.
I was thinking, I don't know why, I had a picture of you playing guitar and eating at the same time.
That's going to be hard for you with the flute.
Oh, look, you're not supposed to.
You can do it.
Eat and,
yeah, and blow. No,
but you can do it. I feel like you can.
You can do it, I'm like. You can do it.
Find a way.
Another thing to practice. No. Can I eat and play at the same time? Yeah.
But that's what it is. Melbourne's got that melting pot of all sorts of music, as I've said many, many times before. It's just that we need to support the musicians a bit more and
or not forget, don't let it get lost in the, you know,
mix.
Post-COVID lockdown, nobody wants to remember that, you know.
No.
Exactly. And like, you know, just it's been like a troll coming back, especially, yeah. You remember for musicians how hard that was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And coming back and then, you know, it was very tough. And then, and seeing venues now suffering, being vocal about that.
Yeah, venues closing.
Yeah. All kinds of things.
Yeah, there's been a lot of venues closing lately.
So like musicians, you know, we have to
keep pushing, but we're in a predicament at the moment where all the avenues that we have, they're all, it's like they've all gone down and we're sitting on top of it with no avenue, nowhere to go, because live music isn't all that good. Recording as well is quite expensive, and to release it is quite expensive. But then you got the platforms where you have to be the necessary evil, right? It wasn't a once,
streaming platform.
Yeah, the streaming platforms where once upon a time you'd be able to sell your CDs or sell your albums or something where you're gigging and you're probably able to make another wage on top.
Yeah. Passive income.
Passive income, right? Yeah. Now, even that's hard.
Mm.
You lug around your $10,000 equipment, right, as well, to gigs, right, and you're setting up and everything like that. And not only that, you're spending time to rehearse and to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most expensive thing.
Mm.
You know, and that is the thing that I don't think people or your normal people that are outside of the music industry think about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think about you spending time at home like 3-4 mm-hmm. hours a day minimum, right, to try and mm-hmm. you know, get this thing out to play for people.
Yeah.
All think the it's training, all the work that goes behind the scenes, they just see. Oh,
and it's over many years as well. Yeah, it's not just before that gig. Yeah.
No, they don't see that.
Mm-hmm. They don't see that, and they also don't see that if you're in a band, the organisational skills that you need to have to organise.
The PR people. Skills.
The PR.
Within the band, let alone outside the band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The rehearsals, the egos.
The fact that there's more than one person to pay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, and that's something that we're dealing with all the time as in the industry. But you have to stay positive. And I'm always positive about the music in general. I love music and I'm always going to be positive about it. There are ways of doing things and I think everyone will find their own little niche and a little way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be persistent.
I think that's it. Yeah, and then people will, you know, come to know you more and more and you're still around and are, you know, come to understand the value of that, you know, because I certainly do that with musicians around the scene that I see that are amazing and I admire and, you know, I really value them. So
yeah, and we should do that more and more ourselves and support ourselves, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the core is. I think that's why it's still surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get your musicians that and your colleagues and friends, they're going to come to your gigs, right? And they're going to come support
it's
you.
It's a community. It's a community. Really nice. Yeah.
Community is very, very important. Yeah. I mean, above all else, right? And you got your social media and everything like that. That's all different. It's all like Killerfish. But if you're in that community and if you're, you know, you have that conversation with people, that physical conversation with people, oh, where are you going to play next? Oh, I'm playing here. Oh, I'll come and see it. Or where are you playing next? Oh, I'm playing there. You know, that community, that's the striving point for each musician. And when you see other musicians at your gig, you think this is good because you respect them so much and they're going to come and see you play. So you're going to give back and you're going to see them. I think that's where it all is. That's where the survival of everything is,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it doesn't matter, you know, sometimes whether you like the music or not. Not everyone likes all sorts of music, but you go and show your support.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important. And it's something that I think will never die.
Yeah.
And that's why we're still playing. That's why we're still in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But
as sense of community.
Sense of community, correct. Do you have any other projects coming up?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You can ask that.
Oh, no, you've already asked it. It's great. I was just like, yeah. What are your current projects? If any.
Well, Guitar Kingdom's ongoing, so it's happening this year, and you know, so long as Open Studio are open next year, we know that place it might be another one that closes next year, but I'd be keen to do some gigs there next year as well. So Guitar Kingdom, like after that, I'm not sure, that will come clearer to me as time goes by and closer to that point. And then I have I'm working on some music by a great guitarist from Brazil that was called Rafael Rebello.
Oh, I know Rafael, he's
up there, yeah, he's one of the best.
I've been listening to him for years.
Armando
Costa is like he learned from him, you know. So I think
they're both great masters. There's so many masterful guitarists from Brazil, you know, and Yamandu, you've named another one that, you know, of our time that is also incredible.
Monster.
Yeah, monster, absolute monster.
So you're heading down that path a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been learning the music of Rafael and I want to keep learning some pieces, so I think I'd like to play it live more and, you know, not just solo, but it'd be really great to play with, you know, someone else. Still clarifying within myself how that will go, but that will, this year, you know, come to fruition.
There's musicians out there. There's musicians out there.
Absolutely, yeah. And, and then also just got some original music that I've been working on. So this year, you know, I'm starting to rehearse that for the musicians. And also once again, I feel like I don't try and pressure myself. I really don't try to pressure myself to be like, by this day and time, everything's going to be together. There's a process, you know. Now I'm starting the process of rehearsing with other musicians.
Enjoy it. Enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Where it's all happening.
But I do hope, you know, for momentum and for, you know, everything, towards the middle or later end of this year, I would like to be playing that live as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, yeah.
Oh, exciting. Oh, love to hear your original music.
Thanks. Yeah. It'd be really nice to play that live. So, yeah, those are the projects this year. That's plenty. That keeps me going. That's plenty of fuel in the car.
plenty. Look, it's great to have you on. It's, you know, guitar is close to my heart, so mm-hmm. you know.
Is it?
No. It's close to my heart.
I thought it was trumpet.
Oh, no, not trumpet. Saxophone more than trumpet, but yeah. But yeah, it's always been there in my family, mm-hmm. and it's always good to have a fellow guitarist on. Not to say that I love having all people in the industry in there, but there's a connection with the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's still attached to the invisible umbilical cord. So, but look, you're an amazing guitarist. I've heard you play, not live as yet, but I will watch you play live.
Oh, you need
live.
To, yeah.
It's something that, as I said before, you have a nuance, you have a feel for it, you have this thing with the guitar where it's not only you're playing what you're playing, but you're adding something to it. And maybe you can't see it when you're playing, but from a perspective of just sitting and watching and listening to you, there's some amazing stuff going on there. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's fantastic. You're really, really, yeah, a phenomenal player. And you have that thing. There's something there, you know? There's that.
That X factor
and not a lot of people have it, so and yeah, wishing you all the very best, Rose. It's and the thing that you're doing with the Guitar Kingdom, it's a great thing as well, and keep on doing it. And if it doesn't happen at my studio, it'll happen somewhere else.
Yeah, definitely, you know. Well, the kitchen, maybe I'll show up in your kitchen.
Yeah, for sure. Hey,
right,
if you forget your guitar, don't worry, I've got a few. did you have anything else?
No, just it's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you
so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation, and you're talking about so many different things that the three of us and so many musicians listening, we understand, we can relate to that.
Yep.
So it's really awesome.
And we have to make sure that those things we actually get out in the open to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Always been a big supporter of musicians, being bigger musicians myself, but not only that, I want to go and see music as well. I want to watch this live thing happening in Melbourne too, which I used to go a lot, you know, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it still needs to happen, you know, it still needs to happen with people like us, mm-hmm. you know. And without music, I don't think we can exist.
True.
You know, without listening to music, it's like, I've always said, it's like a form of oxygen for me. Every day you're with your instrument or with people or with that music. You know, it's just something that needs to be supported here. And hopefully in the future, things will change. And I don't think it's looking a bit, you know, bleak now, but I think things are just going to change. Things have to change.
Melbourne, really, the music sense, you know, it's the hub for music. It's known as like around the world, it's known as
exactly.
As a music hub. So
Yeah.
I remember years ago, people were moving from all parts of Australia to come to Melbourne, like musicians.
Yeah, for the culture.
I think it's still happening, but like I know back in the 90s, which I'm age here, but back in the 90s, people were coming from all over Australia to come to Melbourne.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It was happening. Everything was happening, and it was happening for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we just keep it going, keep it boiling, and I think things will happen, things will change. But
mm-hmm.
thanks so much for being.
Thank you both. I loved it.
When's the next Guitar Kingdom happening?
It's going to happen in May 17.
Okay.
Saturday.
Write that down, people.
Write that down. We're going to pop all your links as well on the just below the video and stuff like that. So
great.
Thanks once again. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Me too. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Till next time. Ciao.
Oh, yeah, we'd like to.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
I always do that. End it with that. You're good at reminding.
Yeah, we'd like to thank our sponsors, musicproservices.com.
Yes.
For your recording, producing.
And all of that.
All of that. Yep. And Cake Eclipse for these delicious cakes here.
We have wafer things. I think it's got walnut in there, chocolate. I'll take it to something more about it.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
I'm going to waft this waif down.
I like that. Waft this waif down. You've got a thing with words. I love
it. You've got a way with words.
Yeah, a way thing. Yeah.
A
anyway,
way thing.
A way thing. Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, till next time. Ciao.
The Strike A Chord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.